The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Are you guys happy?
No,
I'm obviously not. You're not happy. You're not comfortable because I'm literally in your Amazon as we speak.
It's like you're both rummaging around.
Feel more like we're like professional gynecologists.
That's right, exactly. We take a very analytical. It's forensic.
It's not how you feel when they're breaking your waters and someone's got their arm up to their elbow in you.
So, joining us today on My Mate Bought a Toaster, we have got a brilliant guest who is about to reveal the hidden secrets of their purchase history. She's a brilliant actor, brilliant improviser, not a bad podcaster as well with Briefcast and all that business. We are about to find out what a ludicrous shopper Cariad Lloyd is. Welcome.
Hello.
Samantha Baines, as we sit here, you've got a laptop in front of you, Sam, right?
Yeah.
And it's opened onto Amazon. You're looking at Cariad's Amazon history, as am I. Cariad, how are you feeling
right now? I feel awful. Why did I agree to this?
Great, this is what we like.
I feel like, oh, Tom just messaged me about some podcast. I didn't pay any attention. Mm-hmm. And now you're here, I actually feel a bit sick.
And you tried to get away with sending me screenshots, didn't you? Like, oh, just have a look at what I bought in March. It's some cute child stuff.
Genuinely thought I couldn't get into my Amazon, but we proved that I do have a password.
Do you want to know what the first thing you ever bought on Amazon is?
Yes.
Right, we're going back to 2005.
Wow. I didn't know I'd been on Amazon that long.
So 2005, where were you in life in 2005?
I just finished uni, I think.
Okay.
Or I was at uni, can't remember.
All right.
What am I buying? That will help me to know.
Doris Lessing.
Oh, wow.
London Observed, Stories and Sketches.
Oh, I don't have that book, so I wonder who I gave that book to.
May 2005. So this was not for self-improvement. This was for someone else, presumably. Whose birthday is in May? Who's your favourite academic?
Do you know who that book was for then?
Go on.
I think that was for Pascoe.
For Sarah Pascoe?
Yeah, because we were at uni together. Her birthday's in May.
No way.
She loves Doris Lessing.
Is that right?
So I think that's probably a Pascoe birthday present.
That's amazing.
I definitely don't have that book, so...
I mean, you spent $11.99 on that, so wow. She is a good friend.
That's a lot back in 2005.
It is. Yeah, inflation being what it is.
It's the equivalent of £100.
£100.
So you're not a Doris May Lessing fan?
Oh, it's not that I'm not a fan. I just haven't got round to the depths of Doris Lessing. Whereas I know Pascoe is a proper Doris Lessing fan.
What's Doris Lessing's jam? Because I did an English degree as well, and I've sort of forgotten all of it.
Me and Pascoe chose completely different time periods. So, I did nothing in the 20th century. So I can't really tell you what her jam is.
Right, okay.
But if you want to talk about Shakespeare.
hang on. If we do want to talk about Shakespeare, did you study Shakespeare at uni?
Yes, I did.
Well, clearly you did, because you then bought on the 13th of December 2005, James Shapiro's 1599. A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare.
It's such a good book.
Having done a degree in Shakespeare, you basically bought the the airport fiction version of Shakespeare, isn't it?
No, that's it's a very academic book. It's about one impressive year. It's about that he wrote three plays that year, and it's something insane like Hamlet, Othello, and Measure for Measure, or something. I've definitely got one of them wrong.
Wow.
But it's like that he wrote them in that year, and that year there was loads of massive changes, and it's all about how that year... It's a bit like... I don't know, 2016 when where everyone was like, my God, what's happening? Everything's changing.
Yeah.
That 1599 was a year for English history.
That was an amazing. So do we know what plays he did write in that year, in 1599? Because I can tell you, here's a fact I found out the other day.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton,
right,
wrote 9 to 5 and I Will Always Love You.
Same year.
Same fucking day.
Same fucking day. Shut
Whoa.
Up.
Whoa.
Same day. In the morning,
in
9 to 5.
Than 24 hours.
No.
That afternoon, I Will Always Love You. And that's Dolly, early taxi home for Parton. How good is that?
I watched that Jim Carrey documentary and they were saying the same year came out Ace Ventura, The Mask and Truman Show all came out in the same year? Or he made them the same year?
How did he not lose it? Well, he did lose his mind a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he did.
Is that what the documentary is about then?
It's the Man on the Moon one on Netflix where he thinks he's Andy Kaufman for the whole time they film Man on the Moon. It's worth watching.
Okay, fine. Is it better than 1599 A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare? Be honest.
I'd like to say that's a very good book, but it's definitely not Airport. It's an academic test.
So in 1599, Shakespeare wrote Julius Caesar, Henry V, Much Ado About Nothing, he wrote over a couple of years, Henry VI,
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of royalties already, isn't
Henry
there?
Henry IV, part two.
Happening there. Part two. a good sequel, a strong sequel. The other thing you bought on the, and this is quite nice really, because this is you in 2005 about to begin your comedy career,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So this is nice, Sam, this is lovely. On the 18th of November, can you see this? Carrie Ad bought Impro for Storytellers.
Oh,
Keith Johnston.
Keith Johnston.
Standard.
That's the follow-up. That's the follow-up. That's the.
That's Henry the Fourth Part Two, though,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it is. Impro by Keith Johnston is like the quite accessible one. Impro for Storytellers is in depth.
Why?
Because it goes into like mask work and working with, yeah, it's really.
I studied this at drama school.
Yeah, it's not light Impro for Storytellers. If you're going to buy an impro book, start with Impro by Keith Johnston. That's the one where he's like discovering impro, and that became like made him the father of UK improv, and everyone was like, oh, this is how it works. This is what it means. Impro for Storytellers is like I've gone through the Stargate into.
Right. He just lifted up his own arse, basically. At this point.
No, I wouldn't say own arse. I'd say very lost under the influence of improvisation.
Okay.
Improv's arse.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's good, but only if you like improv.
This has 91% 5-star reviews.
It's from so, improvisers.
Yeah.
Sure.
People great. Love this book.
It's a really interesting book.
Right, okay. So, what review? Can we see some reviews here? Sam?
Yeah, 5 stars. It's a book that you feel.
Right.
Someone's written. Does that make sense from an improv point of view?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know what that means.
It's really in depth.
You can feel all books, surely, if they're paperback.
Well,
maybe not on Kindle.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what that review is on about. I can just tell you that it's a very technically in-depth book. You'd need to love Impro to read it.
How many times have you read it? Have you done the thing where you've read it several times and you've absorbed it all?
Or
I've
read Impro more than once, but Impro for Storytellers, that's like,
right.
You know, you've got to be involved.
What's the main message then? Because obviously everyone knows about Impro, all the yes and, right? Come on. I'm just testing you. It's 2005, 14 years ago.
But it's so in-depth. Like, honestly, Impro by Keith Johnston is like, hey, I used to be a primary school teacher and when I spelt words wrong, kids would go mad because we like things to be correct. And that's where Impro comes from. This like this panic of being wrong is like innate in our education system. And what if we were free? It's like, hey, this is my journey. Impro for Storytellers is like, I went to study some tribes
right.
in Brazil and they wear masks. One, aren't we all wearing a mask?
Okay, and nice.
What happens if you wear a mask for days?
Uh-huh.
Like, yes, yeah, so it's just, it's good. It's good. But you have, it's like, I'm trying to think, like, I love Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
Some people love Lord of the Rings. I've watched all the special features of all the extended editions. That's the level I like Lord of the Rings. That's not for everyone.
No.
So what I'm saying is Impro for Storytellers, you've got to love your Impro. You've got to be committed.
Should we jump ahead a bit?
Yeah.
God.
So let's go. Let's jump. I'm going to pick a random year. What year is going to make Carrie Ad wince? She's already
wincing.
Should we go to 8? Should we go for an 8?
Yeah.
2008? All right, I'm jumping into
strong
2.
Year.
What's Baraka Kronos box set? Why have you bought that in October for £15.97?
Can I look at it? Cause I don't know where
that is. There you go. The Baraka Kronos box set. There you go. Hang on.
That is a present for my brother.
You buy all presents on Amazon. Yeah. You buy nothing for yourself, Carrie Ad. Why do you hate yourself so much?
Maybe in December, it's you know, you do Amazon panic,
but this was October.
Yeah.
This was October.
Oh, that's his birthday. That's his birthday present.
This is amazing.
That is like this really weird film that's like just landscapes filmed over like 24 hours, and he was really into it, and he requested it.
Is your brother a wanker?
No, he's just very into travelling.
Nice bit of Shakespeare in 2008 as well. You got A Midsummer Night's Dream by a man called William Shakespeare. Obviously, that was 47p.
I bought it just to read myself.
Really? That was for you?
Actually, 2008, that was for a show.
Oh, what were you doing?
I did a show in Edinburgh called, I think I directed the show then. It might be too early. I did a show in Edinburgh called Shakespeare for Breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Were
morning
you
show,
that?
Yeah, me and Pasco and Gemma Whelan did it 1 year. And then
what?
I directed it another year and we did Midsummer Night's Scream.
Oh.
And we did a horror version of Midsummer Night.
So, hang on, Shakespeare for Breakfast, was that a thing that happened every year, like news review and different people would
exactly.
do it?
Yeah, exactly. It happens every year. I think it still happens.
Yeah.
And then you...
C venues. R.I.P. maybe.
R.I.P.
Is C venues all over now?
I don't know. But
that's so sad. I did C venues first year of my sketch group.
Shakespeare for Breakfast is like... funds C venues basically because it's on every morning. You get free coffee and croissant, and they give you a month. The cast have to write the show.
Oh, really? I thought Shakespeare would write the show.
No, write that show. We did an all-female version of Tame with the Shrew. Yeah, and the cast was that year myself, Sarah Pascoe, Gemma Whelan, and other ladies.
Okay.
And then you also have to do a kids show because it's Edinburgh. So you had to do Hansel and Gretel, and the set was so bad I once kicked it apart on stage.
And is that a Keith Johnston process?
No. I was Hansel, and it was a bit of garden trellis sprayed silver, and I was so pissed off, I just kicked it, and I said, we could get out, couldn't we, Gretel? So I was so annoyed.
What was the end of that? That's not so, yes and. That is
it's not yes
no,
and.
The
it's
end.
A bad
no
attitude.
End.
We used to have Shakespeare breakfast at 10 in the morning, packed, sold out house, people were like, oh my God, comedy. And then at 11, we had to do Hansel and Gretel. It was such a come down.
So gross.
It was such a come down. And six kids would sit there watching. You could see they were like, this is rubbish.
You kicked the trellis. You're not even the witch.
No, I was supposed to be trapped in the trellis and it fell on me. That's what happened. It was three sides and it fell on me. And so I kicked it away method. And I was like...
Surely this is way better than the actual planned show.
Yeah, yes. It was. The only thing I remember is one girl was so drunk.
In the cast?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I won't mention names. And,
go on, Pascal, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And she, you know, you're so drunk in Edinburgh, you're still drunk in the morning.
Mm. Yeah.
And she kept having to go off and be sick into the fire bucket.
Oh,
and then
wow.
come back on to be like the witch or not the witch, like the fairy godmother or something.
To perform for children.
I was going
to
say, because if it's the witch, that would make sense, because
no,
you'd be like... Ugh.
She's stang a whiskey.
Ooh.
She's stang a whiskey. And we were like, whoa, dude, this is a bit much.
All those
sensory
Edinburgh experiences
experience.
Are the best. Yeah. That's what Edinburgh is the best at doing. I blacked out in a show once. It was hilarious. People loved it.
You blacked? Did you?
I blacked out. I was also
collapse?
Basically, I was doing four shows a day. I was in a show called Dog Man. So this is 2004, and I was the dog, right? And I used to, I sort of perfected this thing where I'd be talking, and then every now and again I'd do like a weird bark, and it was sort of became this twitch and part of Dog Man's character. And then it got so bad that I'd start doing it in other shows.
Whoa.
So I was doing like a sketch show, and I'd every now and again do this weird.
She was so tired.
Yeah, and then I woke myself up three nights in a row barking in my sleep.
Wow.
Edinburgh 2004.
Were you
guys.
With anyone at the time?
My now wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who, we have tolerant partners.
Really tolerant partners. That's what we need. Yeah. That's why you can't partner up with other performers because they just can't put up with it. Yeah.
They would also bark in their sleep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Too much.
Quite a quiet year for you on
sorry,
Amazon.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
We need to find when the big bucks start rolling in. I'm going to go for 12 now, Sam. It is remarkable that in 2012 you only bought four things on Amazon.
Is that all I bought?
Yeah. The whole year. Just once a quarter, you'd treat yourself.
Wow.
The Olympics were on. She was busy.
Yeah. Fair
I wa- do you know what? I was doing my second Edinburgh show and having a small breakdown, so that's probably why.
Oh, okay. Well, you say you were having a breakdown in 2012. I can see some evidence of that because you spent £127, which is presumably at that stage in someone's acting career, that's like your entire earnings, on a Lumi Zip LED portable SAD light box.
Not for me.
Oh,
that is a very generous gift.
Who's it for? Boyfriend or husband?
For my mum, and she didn't use it.
And is she still sad?
Yeah.
There you go.
Still, she goes, every time it gets, oh, I hate the dark. I feel depressed. I don't like it. Where's your sad box? Oh, I don't know. I don't know where it is. I left it at work. She won't use it. And we bought this fucking light box. And every fucking winter, the same thing. Oh, I can't believe. Look how dark it is, 4 o'clock. Look.
You bought it in December as well, by which point it's been dark for months. So you've obviously, by December 2012, you've obviously put up with several weeks of her moaning about how dark it is.
I said, look, I'll get you it for Christmas. Right. Get it for Christmas. Just to have it on in, just have it when you're getting ready. Yeah, did you have it on? Oh, I forgot to put it on. What do I have to do?
Why do we get these things that are completely pointless? So what happened to it? Is that,
I sat at her house somewhere. Gone. She claims it's at work. I think she threw it away.
Do you know what I think? This is really dark, by the way, ironically. There's loads of stuff I buy for my mum like this, and I just think, I'm going to have to fucking go through this when
exactly,
you die.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
I'm just going to be a room full of shit I bought you on Amazon to try and improve your life.
Yeah, at least
iPads
get
are broken.
It back.
Well, that's true, but I don't want shit old iPads.
Well, maybe she doesn't want the shit old iPads. Do you know what I mean? We're just giving. We're like, I love you. Here's these things. Stay alive.
Neil Diamond live. Make sure you're still alive.
Yeah. Please don't die.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she tried it and didn't like it. You know, a lot like Frankie, who gave it 3 stars and said it's good, but is it that good?
I think that's what my mum felt. She said she did use it like once, and she said, I can't really feel the difference. And you need an instant hit, don't you? You need to be like, this definitely works.
Yeah.
So I think she couldn't be fuffed.
They are just very bright lights, though, aren't they? Or have they got UV
in
them?
No, it's the wavelength. It's supposed to have the right wavelength.
So can it give you a tan?
No.
Oh,
right. It's not a sunbed.
It just cheers you up.
Sorry, this is amazing, this book. 13th of September 2012, Cariad spent £6.19. Again, a high price. I think things have got cheaper in recent years.
So.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book. I'm very into self-help. And I got very into self-help 2011, 2012. And I read The Artist's Way, book changed my life.
Okay.
I thoroughly recommend that. And I also got into Louise L. Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Amazing.
Which are very, I would recommend, they're very nice, good self-help books. But then Louise L. Hay is, I think she only recently died, and she was, as she got older, got a bit more crazy. And okay. So she recommended this book on a talk I heard her doing, and it was like, oh, as I got older in my 70s, I didn't think I would ever dance, but I learned dance lessons. This was the talk I used to do before I went to sleep. And then I read Rimmel Harris's Your Handwriting Can Change Your Life, and I, at 75, changed my handwriting. So you listening now can change your life as well. And I was so in deep in self-help.
Wow.
I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy it. And I tried to change my handwriting.
Wow.
And it is, I can't tell you, it's so hard to change your handwriting.
Why?
Because she said, like, some, if you change the letters, it would be make, like, more open and help your energy. Oh. Like, I am a fucking hippie, guys.
That's amazing. So the different shapes you'd make about a letter on the page are sending a message back to your brain.
Well, that's what this lady, this isn't Louise O'Hay, I do love, but this is another lady called Vimala.
Vimala Rogers.
Vimala Rogers. And she, what annoyed, the reason that got me is she made a big fuss about the letter V, because that's what her name started with. And I thought, all right, that's all right for you, Vimala. What about the rest of us?
Not very often used letter as well. I'd have gone for E or a classic like A, you know, it's a big letter.
Yeah. I did actually change the way I wrote the letter A when I was at school, because I wanted to do the posh one, with the hat on.
Oh, really?
It's quite hard.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't
it? I do Greek E's. I do a Greek E because I'm massively pretentious. Oh, yeah, because my brother did them, so I think they're cool.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't change me. It just made me, if anything, it did change my life, because it made me more of a twat when I started doing Greek E's.
And also, one of the reasons I did buy it, though, is genuinely my handwriting is illegible, even to me. So I thought, oh, this book is supposed to, like, bring good energy and hopefully will make my handwriting neater.
Why is your handwriting so illegible? Was it illegible at school?
Yes, it's me and my brother, my dad have, it's all of us is illegible.
Right.
And mine's so bad now, I can't read it.
And is it because you're writing really fast?
I write really fast and I'm not very good at joined up writing. It's just a mess. It's a scrawly mess.
Is it because you can't be bothered? Sometimes
my hand doesn't go the speed I want, that my brain is going, and I get cross. Yes.
Right.
So I go, I don't have time, come on, catch up.
Right, yeah. That
I'm
makes
not
sense.
I'm sitting here writing out the word properly, fuck off.
Your hand isn't as fast as your brain.
Yeah.
So do you love it when you type then? You're a really fast typer.
Typing is like the only way my brain can cope.
You should write a sequel to that book called Your Typing Can Change Your Life. That's what you should do.
Well, if anyone does want to change their life, Your Handwriting Can Change Your Life is a do-it-yourself, step-by-step approach to transforming the commonplace activity of writing into an easy and effective self-help therapy. A graphic representation of the mental tendencies that shape our thinking. Mm. Our handwriting naturally changes when our lives are dramatically altered.
She did have some interesting theories that people who go through trauma, their handwriting changes. Really? I mean, she had some theories. Wow. Also, I love, because I do so much self-help, like the language they use of just anything, like mental tendencies, is such a self-help phrase because it means nothing. But it sounds good, doesn't it?
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi, oi, oi.
Can I just say I went back to 2011 because you said you got into self-help books in 2011. And I found a Louise L. Hay book.
Yes.
You Can Heal Your Life.
This is
the
brilliant.
20th anniversary edition. Well, come on, let's have a positive thing then.
I do like this one. Although it's really hippie. It's absolutely mad. It's fucking mental.
Go
but
on.
I like it. It's more about, it's about mental patterns and how they can affect affect your well-being.
Okay.
It's very hippie-ish, but I just found it quite nice.
But nice to read, right?
I found it nice. Some people find it really annoying.
What? Right, okay.
Did you go with the follow-ups, Heal Your Body and the Power Is Within You?
No, I didn't. I just did Heal Your Life. And then she's one of those people, she's a bit like Brené Brown. Have you ever heard Brené Brown?
Sure, no.
Brené Brown is this amazing woman who does all these talks about vulnerability. This is like the true Carriad, right?
I love this.
Absolute,
this is what we wanted.
Absolute hippie.
This is great.
This is what we're going to find
and
on
Louise
this podcast.
O'Hay, but she kind of has this theory that whatever's happening in your brain may affect you physically. So it's all about the physical symptoms of your body. She's like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's this.
But that's caught hold in the mainstream much more recently.
Yeah, but when she did it 20 years ago, guys.
There you go.
Well, she calls herself a science of mind minister.
I mean, That since is embarrassing.
1981.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
She's one of she's one of the first self-help people.
All right, okay, good.
I have to say, like, it's very comes from the heart. It's very loving.
Do you think you bought this stuff on Amazon because you didn't want to buy it in a bookshop and you wanted to do it anonymously?
I grew up with parents who were in self-help cults. So I have no problem.
What?
Yeah, I've talked about I've told you this. So I have no problem buying this stuff or talking about it. It's just it's not very comedy. So I don't talk about it in comedy because no one's like it's not hilarious.
But so right. So do you discuss self-help books with your mum, for example?
Yeah, which is
a good. Well, that's a good one.
My mum read Louise Hay before I did, mate.
Right. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's been in my house. I had to buy my own copy because, like, my mum had the.
We had like Arthur Ransom books in my house growing up.
We had that too.
Okay, fine. You had this as well. All right.
Oh
right.
Yeah.
But just to give a differing opinion, obviously you loved it. But Kindle customer said horrendous, completely misguided, absolutely ridiculous that any person with half a brain cell can think that cancer is caused by negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Nice victim blaming.
Is she a bit of a Noel Edmondser?
There is that aspect of it. But in the book, she doesn't really talk so much about that. She talks more. I was avoiding that because it does upset people, and I do not think. Obviously, my dad died of cancer, guys. I do not think it's caused by negative thinking, although I'm sure he could have upped his positive values. I don't think that. But she's really good for ailments. She's really good for like minor ailments. That's when I go to her.
But it is true, though, isn't it? If you are depressed or you're down, your body defences are down. If you get an infection or something, you know, it doesn't heal up as quickly. So there is a logic to it there.
There's a logic to it. But then if you follow that logic through, you do get, you give yourself cancer, which I don't believe and scientifically isn't true.
Unless you smoke cigarettes, in which case that's a huge way of getting cancer.
That's a huge way. Yeah. That's a solid way of doing it.
There you go.
Paul T. Horgan says, load of tosh.
Well, Paul T., I'd like to know how your digestive system is going.
Oh,
what does the T stand for as well, dickhead? Come on, mate. Chris of Paul Hogan.
There's this new theory, quite possibly, that your gut bacteria affects your mental health. That's now been scientifically proven.
That is really catching on.
So she's sort of in. If you can get on board with that, get on board with her, but do ignore the stuff where she says.
Do you look after your gut bacteria then?
I try to.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yakult.
Probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
They make me poo.
You have to get good ones. I recommend BioCult, which I buy on Amazon.
Good, we'll get onto that. As tablets?
Yeah, they're tablets, but apparently they're quite... my friend who's very into this thing said they're one of the best ones you can buy.
You're literally in a BioCult, aren't you?
I mean,
your parents were in self-help cults, and now you're in a BioCult.
Yeah, self-improvement cults. Like, that is my background.
I think we should leap forward a bit, don't you, Sam? I think we should...
Yes,
when did the baby arrive?
Because that's 2016.
This is when things
actually 2017 is when it really starts buying.
All right, let's go to 2017.
Yeah, that'll be full baby.
Now, what first strikes me here, Sam, I don't know if you can see this, having been in 2012 or 2008 with Carrie's Amazon account, along the bottom, there's no option to jump from page to page. Do you know what I mean? Her purchases every year are like four.
Wow, yeah.
And now instantly, pages, in 2017.
11 pages.
Oh, no! So how much I spent on Amazon? Fuck.
11 pages in 2017.
That's what happens when you have a baby.
I have so many questions.
I don't know where to start.
The hip seat baby carrier.
Oh, yeah.
Hippie chick hip seat
recommended
baby carrier.
Recommended by Emma Freud.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Emma Freud.
Close personal friend. Nice.
She said to me, you have to get a hip carrier. Because when you carry a baby on your side, you bend your back.
Yeah.
And so she was like, if you do this, it won't bend your back. My baby don't want to sit on it.
So not interested.
I've still got it. I've got the box. I'm going to sell it.
That's the end of that.
If you want to buy it, you can buy it off me. It's brand new, been used twice.
You can sell things on Amazon as well.
Yeah, on Amazon it's $39.95. How much will you sell it for, Carriad?
I'll sell it for £25.
Oh.
But you have to pay postage and packaging.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know what it is,
it's like a seat. You have to strap it to you.
It's like a big belt with a little bit of
a ledge.
Cushion.
Yeah, like
a ledge.
It's quite solid.
People often buy utility belts on this podcast, don't they? We often find a utility belt. I don't know why some sort of Amazon is evolving us to give us more pockets and things. It's weird.
What colour did you get?
I got blue.
Several options.
Yes. I just got navy blue. You strap it to yourself, it creates a mini ledge, and they sit on it, and then your back is straight. Mm-hmm. And Emma said to me, it's amazing, and if you don't do this, your back will be fucked.
But there's an important thing there, isn't there? When they sit on it.
Yeah, when they sit in it. And she's had four children and they obviously sat on her seat.
Well done, Tammy.
There's some great bullet points. Easily carry your precious baby.
No need for precious. No need for precious there.
Carrying your child against your body. Easy hop on, hop off design.
Bullshit.
That happens.
She literally gets on it and she goes, no, I don't like it.
Why am I sitting?
Because he's like, why have you got a chair strapped to you, mother? Just hold me.
What you're saying is, fuck you, Emma Freud.
never say that.
Those are the vibes I'm getting. Let me ask you a question, Sam. How much would you spend on secateurs? How much do you think secateurs should cost?
I mean, even if they're deluxe. max like £25.
I would say that. I'd say 20.
You don't know your secateurs, mate. You haven't got a clue.
You Carriad, really went out.
£56.75. TV cash is rolling in by 2017, isn't it? Look at that. Tell you,
was it, who was it for? Present for my mum.
Unbelievable.
Present for my mum.
But are you joking?
No.
So first of all, we've got your mum the light to try and improve her mental health. Now we're trying to get her gardening.
She loves gardening, and she was using crappy secateurs, and she hurt her wrist. I was like, right, I researched best those are the best secateurs you can get.
And does she now use them?
Yes, she does, because she likes gardening.
This is a great success story.
This was she was really happy, but she did say they're a bit sharp.
It's slightly critical.
I was going to say,
it's kind of the idea, mother. That's the point.
What makes a good secateur?
It's the blade. You've got sharp. Good blade.
But you could just sharpen it.
Well, but you need to try and sharpen a pair of secateurs, or you've got to get machinery for that sort of thing.
Do you know, I'm still scared of secateurs, because my grandmother cut off the tip of her finger with secateurs when I was a kid. I remember her telling me, she used to say, I can't feel anything with this finger, and she'd rub me with the tip of her finger.
Oh, God.
Still scared me. Now, just looking at the picture of secateurs, I'm like, ooh, that's really
funny. Were they a deluxe pair that cost £56? They must have been.
£56, that's impressive. And those were bought in November. Was that a random present? That's not Christmas shopping. Surely that's not
Christmas shopping.
In November?
Yeah, but I can't remember. Oh, she was going away. I think I had to get them early.
All right, okay.
I had to get them early.
Lots of people are very excited about these secateurs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I read the Amazon reviews and they were going off the hook about these.
This is my favourite of all the Velcro secateurs.
Yeah.
Being a little smaller than some, but nevertheless powerful and really lovely to use with its rotating handle.
That's what my mum said. It doesn't hurt your wrist, so if you've got a painful wrist, if you're an old lady...
And you've gone for
really love my mum, guys.
Yeah, I know. I can tell you.
Someone's literally written, they've called themselves professional gardener, by the way.
That's me.
These definitely reduce stress on my hand and wrist.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Now, the 4th of July 2017, Sam, this is on page 5 of the 98 pages of Carriad's shopping in 2017.
Since she had a child.
You've bought and you've spent a fortune on this. This is, but we've got one of these as well, right? It's called a sleepy head baby pod silver lining.
So,
describe this to you, Sam. You're lucky enough not to have any children in your life. Imagine if you rolled up a towel and put it in a U. That's what this
but
is.
You've had a long, like, sausage cushion that went from your toes all over your head, so that when you were, like, kind of snug, like, you know when you have a bowling alley and they have those bumpers? It's like a bumper that goes all around you.
It is.
When you don't have a child, you think, bullshit, this is bullshit. And people say, oh, you should get one. It's really good. You think, no, don't be stupid. And then your child doesn't sleep, so you'll do anything. And you buy a sleepy head, and the child sleeps. They sleep in a sleepy head.
And so a number to put on that. Well, that's the thing.
Honestly, it's the coziest thing. And then they fuck you over by selling beautiful covers.
Right. Well, so you change the covers. We never did that. We never changed the covers on ours.
We just had it white. She kept vomiting on it, so I needed a spare one.
We just let him sleep in his own crust. It's fine. It's a much nicer sleeping experience.
I didn't want to buy another cover, but she was
vomiting. The Sleepyhead Grand Baby Pod Silver Lining. Bearing in mind, it makes your baby sleep. On a nightly cost, I would happily spend £300 or £400 a night.
Exactly.
For that. So you spent £187 on this.
I did, it's but a tell lot. You, it is
I
a lot.
I could make that.
No, you couldn't.
And
people
sell it
say
cheaper.
That. Honestly, it's so well made. It's Swedish design.
Have you still got it? Does she still use it?
I tell you what, we had to take it out of the cot because she got a bit too big for it, and now we use it as a boat to play with. So we get it out. We pull it out from under the sofa, and she goes, boat.
And you pull her along.
That's
lovely.
So worth the money. She loves it. We put the blanket over. She pretends to go to sleep in
the
boat.
Really? So is she out of the cot now then?
No, she started wriggling so much. The sleepy head got too, it was in the way.
You've got a really annoying baby as well. I'm really pleased when other people have annoying babies.
It's now gone up to £220.
Oh, that's so expensive.
That's Brexit, isn't it?
But people love it.
Guys,
give us some reviews.
99% five-star reviews.
It's wow.
So literally the greatest baby product money can buy.
This is just mothers mainly, being honest.
It
my
works.
Wife,
yeah, as a mother,
they're all just completely elated. That
amazing, worth the money, hands down the best purchase for my twins.
I would say honestly, everyone I know who has been pregnant and gone, oh no, I don't need one, has then messaged me going, what was that thing you said? What was it called?
This is what happens, and you make spreadsheets. My wife has got a spreadsheet of the most important products, and she sent it to one person, and it's now gone pretty much viral amongst North London of people going, oh, I need that thing, the sleepyhead thing, and the special socks, and just all the crap.
So many people, many comedian ladies as well, I've messaged 2 weeks after the baby and gone, have you got a sleepyhead yet?
You're going to need this.
You're going to need it.
Yeah. What was the one I did the other day for Mark Haynes? Oh, I'll tell you what I did for Mark Haynes the other day. He's just had a baby, and the special nail clip. Invented by Tom off The Apprentice from about 5 years ago.
We've just got little nail scissors.
Right, so you get these amazing clippers that have got a gap in them, so when you put them on, you can see their nail through the gap and you don't cut their finger off.
So good.
It's a no-bleed nail cutting solution.
I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you a
I'm
link.
I'm using nail scissors and it's terrifying.
I need that for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So 2017, a wonderful year for you and an amazing year for Amazon. You can see why Jeff Bezos has bought an extra pad or two, can't you?
Oh, based my on this God, alone. Yeah.
Should we go to the past 6 months now? 2019, Sam. And you can see, it's lovely because we can trace the progress.
The growth of the baby.
Right, so now look, expected by the 2nd of March, which is any day now, On My Potty by Leslie.
Oh, yeah, that's already arrived. It's already arrived.
And has she read it?
Yeah, we read it this morning.
And how's that going?
It went very well. She, in the book, the baby goes to the potty and sits on it and has to wait. Sorry, Sam, but this is what happens when you have a child, these conversations.
It's thrilling.
In the book, the baby waits to go on the potty, waits ages, and then she does a wee, and it's exciting. So today, my daughter read it, and then she said, I want to go on the potty, sat down, said, I did it just like the book. She'd done nothing. She'd done no wee in the potty at all. And I had to celebrate it, because you have to celebrate it even though they've done nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She goes, just like the book, mummy. And I was like, yeah, well done. Just like the book. And my husband was like, did she go? Yep.
And did we look at him going, no,
yeah,
she,
shaking
she
my
did
head,
not
no.
go. She did not go.
Oh,
when
well
we got
done,
the
well
first
done.
Drop that came out of my son's penis and landed in the potty, the first drop of wee, he gets a chocolate coin. Says, are you proud of me? Yes, we're very proud of you. He now he's still using the potty like 6 months later, but he now doesn't tell us, which is the problem. So like he just goes and uses the potty. So yesterday I just walked past and Polly, the dog.
Oh, no. No.
Both solid and liquid.
No, Polly, no. Polly, bad
Polly,
dog.
Would you away?
No, that is not okay,
she's
Polly.
She's got a beard and it all gets stuck in the beard.
Polly's read the book but took it wrong.
There you go, you see.
Oh, my potty.
What I love here is from Valentine's Day, of course. This is just before Valentine's Day. One of the most romantic things I've ever seen bought. A pack of 10 self-adhesive stainless steel hooks.
Should I tell you why I bought them?
Yes, please.
Mrs. Hinch. Do you know about Mrs. Hinch?
Go on.
You don't know about Mrs.
No.
Hinch? Oh my God, you guys are about to find out about Mrs. Hinch. 1.8 million followers. She is a British woman who cleans on Instagram. 1.8 million. She's nearly at 2 million followers.
What does she clean?
Follow her for tips or just to watch?
She watch and tips. She just cleans her house. She loves cleaning. She's currently pregnant. And she's a character. You've got to watch Mrs. Hinch. She's amazing. She's got a book coming out. It's like number one in Amazon pre-orders.
Wow.
She is mega.
And Mrs. Hinch recommended these self-adhesive stainless steel hooks.
Yeah, she recommended those clips.
Why? To hang things off yourself, maybe?
You can hang your cloths on.
You've got 10, though. How many cloths have you got?
I didn't want 10.
Well,
I didn't want
10.
But you can only get 10. And so I gave one to my mum. So she's going to use her.
Just one.
Which I said, take more. She said, I don't want it. Just want one.
For the secateurs to go on, presumably.
No, for a cloth. Right, Mrs. Hinch recommends cloths and specific cleaning products. If, like me, you're quite anxious and you use cleaning as therapy, as Mrs. Hinch does, she suffered terribly from anxiety. And she started this account in March last year.
Is that all?
Yep.
Is that all?
That's all.
Wow.
She is off
amazing.
The scale.
Mrs. Hinch.
I can't believe you haven't heard of her.
How do you spell it?
H-I-N-C-H. And she constant Insta stories, got like hundreds. And she just says, right, I'm going to go do my hinching. All right, hinches.
She's verbalised her surname.
Yep.
That's unforgivable.
She said, I've hinched the bin. I've hinched the toilet. You start it. You watch it. And you think, this is madness. This is weird. And then you find yourself going, I wonder what she's doing.
And then you're addicted.
Honestly, I'm addicted to Mrs. Hinch. If Mrs. Hinch ever listens, I love her so much.
Oh, that's amazing.
She's got a dog, beautiful dog called Henry, who has his own bedroom and his own bed.
Should we get Mrs. Hinch on the podcast, Sam?
Yes, please.
She's brilliant.
I actually
endless stuff.
Don't
like
know.
This.
She's so busy.
She's got a dog, so that's extra cleaning.
Yeah, and that's what I like. She's not. You know, when some people's house is so clean, you're like, oh God. She has a dog. She's very normal lady, married to Mr. Hinch. Mr. Hinch gets involved.
Very normal lady who has a bedroom for her dog.
Mm. I think that's okay. She Febrezes the bed.
Really?
Oh, mate.
Dog bed.
She Febrezes everything. She Sephloras everything.
Febreze smells jank, though, doesn't it? Does Febreze actually smell nice?
All the cleaning companies send her products.
Oh, I mean, the freebies she must be getting.
Yeah.
And they all say, Mrs. Hinch's Febreze. And she's like, oh, my God, Hinch's, look what they sent me. Thank you so much.
She's making a... She's monetized her OCD.
Oh, mate. Yeah, completely. And we are enabling her.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, Febreze, though, isn't really the height.
Febreze is the best thing. Come on, Febreze.
Febreze.
The only way to do it.
What about Gillette?
Oh,
MAC 3 razor blades for men.
That's for me.
Is it? Okay. Do you use a man's razor blade?
I was going to ask about
women's
that.
Women's ones are more expensive.
Yeah.
Come with stupid pink plastic around them.
It's awful.
And the, but men's ones are better. Why would you ever use a woman's razor? It makes no sense. And that men's are cheaper.
Why have they genderized razors now? Because
they know we'll everything. Spend more. We spend women's values on products is completely skewed.
Okay, hang on. I want to look. I'm going to look this up. I'm going to go in. So Gillette Mac 3 razor blades for men. 4 refills cost £8.
Which is quite a lot of money, I think.
Right, which is.
I don't use them very often. Do you know what? It took me 2 razors to get from my legs the other day. It'd been so long.
Wow.
I was like, a side.
You know what you need?
What do I need?
Secateurs. So if we do Gillette...
£11 for women.
Yeah.
That is a £3 tax just
for razor blades.
And it'll have an added pink strip going, Lily of the Valley, added moisturising. Bullshit.
It's just a razor cutting hair.
It's a razor cutting hair. They
and there's
add
some
shit
sort
to
of flowery packaging.
Flowery packaging. Mm. They add a pink strip and it smells.
Wow.
And it smells of shit and it probably make you allergic because it's highly perfumed.
£11 reduced from £11.49 compared to
So even
to
that's
£8.
Reduced.
Yeah, that's reduced.
Bullshit. Oh, okay, buy cool. your men's razors every time.
Okay, fine. It's blue though. You're okay with the colour blue, obviously,
They're
as a woman.
They're grey when you get them. Too. They're great, fine.
That's amazing. I can't believe how much more expensive it is.
They do that with everything. They do it with deodorant. They do it with moisturiser.
Pens.
Women's products are always more expensive.
Shampoo.
Yeah, the pens thing, yeah.
A woman will look at something and go, oh, £11 for razors. Whereas a man will go, I'm not paying £11 for razors. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It comes back to the haircut logic, doesn't it? A man's haircut, £10. Thanks very much, Mr. Topper. Done. Listen, Carrie, this has been amazing. God, I feel like when I came into Griefcast, I feel like I got to know you really well.
Yeah.
But this has taken things to a whole new level.
A whole new level.
I found out so much about your self-help, about your improv, and about your hairy legs.
They're so hairy.
And that is a brilliant thing. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Sam Baines. Thank you so much for joining us.
I also have hairy legs.
So now you know to buy...
Men's razors.
Men's razors. We're learning stuff from this podcast.
I'm literally on my Amazon now buying men's razors.
Is this improving your life, this podcast?
I think it is.
Okay. Great.
And when I have a baby, I'm definitely going to get that towel thing.
£190.
If I ever have a baby.
They
or
are.
I'll just start making them and selling them to mothers.
What you need to do, ironically, to afford having a child, you need to have a child to sell.
Yeah.
In order to fund it. That's the problem.
Okay.
But that's quite a dark way into it. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter at ToasterPods. Or I'm at PriceTom on Twitter. What are you?
I'm at Samantha Baines, B-A-I-N-E-S, and Instagram, if you want to see my face.
Very aggressive Instagram there. And Instagram!
If you want to see my face.
I want to see your face, and then I want to see Mrs. Hinch clean. That's what I want to see. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye!
Bye!
GreatBigOwl.com
There.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.